Demolished Thoughts is the new solo album from Thurston Moore of Sonic Youth, and ahead of a show tonight at the Troubadour, we are really honored to have him here this morning in studio. Thurston, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Hey, happy belated birthday, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it was a few days ago.
Yeah, that was Monday.
Monday, July 25th.
And how did you celebrate?
We were playing in a little town called Portland, Oregon. And we celebrated, we all went out to dinner, had a nice little dinner. Is this true? Yeah, it's Portland. And then we came out on stage, and the band brought out this huge four-tiered birthday cake and dumped it on top of my head. And I jumped into the audience and did the worm on the floor, and all the audience jumped on top of me and were squirming around on top of me with the frosting and everything.
Wow.
And I continued to play the song, You Lost Your Lover.
Without missing a beat.
Yeah.
You know, you don't seem to age. We were talking about this earlier. You just seem like eternally young. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the music.
I am Lucifer. No, I don't know. I'm 53 years old. I feel like a very sort of a normal 53.
Yeah.
53 is the new 35. For the year 2011.
That's good news. Well, can I just take a moment to say how much respect and admiration that I have, that we all have, for you and your art and your work over the years. You know, it's just really, really, really been important, and I want to thank you.
Oh, that's cool. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So a couple months ago, I attended a preview of this album and had a chance to meet you. And I think at that time, you were still working out how you were going to stage this album.
Mm-hmm.
But tell us, how did you end up working it out, and who do you have in studio
with? Well, I kept it very sort of local to where I live, which is in Western Massachusetts, a town called Northampton, Smith College, and scene there. And you know, there's a really great music scene there that's connected to New York City and the environs, you know, also Boston and also Philadelphia. And so I just kind of, you know, decided that I really wanted to sort of have people that I play with communally in that scene sort of be with me. And Samara Lebelski playing violin and Mary Lattimore playing harp, who were on the recording, that was already decided. We were going to go out in some capacity as a trio and extend it somewhat. I asked my friend Keith Wood, who records under the name Hush Arbors, who I had released a couple of CDs by, and he's done records on other labels, etc., who I've always been a big fan of his. And he was kind of vagabonding around the Western Mass scene. And I asked him if he would play a second acoustic guitar with me. And just to sort of give me some support, as I'm not really sort of a very sort of technical player. And so he's a great acoustic guitar player. And I asked him if he would be interested, and he was. And then I asked John Maloney, who plays in this very sort of kind of psycho improv group called Sunburned Hand of the Man, that's been around Massachusetts for quite some time. And they're like a very significant kind of organization there. And John's been living in Northampton, Massachusetts, and playing with me and different people, more in improvised music kind of situations, and, you know, the back rooms of record stores and some little clubs we have there. And I asked John if he'd want to sort of play drums to some degree. There's no real drums on the record.
Right.
I had Joey Wilronker play some drums. Actually, Beck sort of brought him in, and he played very minimally on the record. And I wasn't quite sure like how that was going to happen live. There was some bass guitar on the record, a fellow that Beck had also brought in who played stand-up bass. And I asked Matt Hainer from No Neck Blues Band to play stand-up bass with us. But in a live context, I found that it was the bass guitar tended to somewhat obliterate a lot of the dynamics of the harp and the violin. And so I decided to excise it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're bassless. For the most part,
it sounds like a pretty organic ensemble.
Yeah, well, we worked it out, and we've been sort of touring just a little bit, and we're kind of in a groove, you know.
All right, well, let's check out that groove. It's Thurston Moore. He's live on KCRW.
I once thought a good name for a band would be Orgy, but that's when I lived in the city. Then I thought a good name would be Children. That's when I looked out my kitchen window, drinking green and cherry liquids, and seeing for a moment, through the hedge, a mom and her child at play. The title of this next song is Meeting at Rexroth's. Let's begin there, but let's not forget Mina Loy and the poem of the end. Found a diamond in the gutter on an early morning freeze. In your mouth it turns to water. Onyx eyes swallow me. I don't care what it takes. All he wants is you to love him without shame, without shame, without shame. Without shame, without shame, without shame, without shame, without shame. A diamond in the gutter on an early morning freeze. In your mouth it turns to water. Onyx eyes swallow me. I don't care what it takes. All she wants is you to love her without shame, without shame, without shame. Without shame, 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 without shame. Blood never lies.
every time they come for you, you know it's time to run. Everybody knows it's true, how your love has come undone. Now he has his chance to take, and he will take you out of here. Take you to a secret state where blood is light, blood is clear. Oh, the blood is clear. Oh, the blood is clear. Every time they take you away, he knows you're never gone. You know you stole his heart away, and he falls into the freezing sun. Now he has to kidnap you and keep you bound endless night. And you know he never lets you leave. His blood is clear, never lies. Blood never lies. Oh, blood never lies. And you know he never lets you leave. His blood is clear, never lies. Oh, blood never lies. Oh, blood never lies. And you know he never lets you leave. His blood is clear, never lies. Blood never lies. Oh, blood never lies. Oh, blood never lies. Oh, blood never lies.
Demolished thoughts rehearsed this weekend. Beer and 40-second hardcore tunes. First generation, memories still fresh. Bald heads, SSD control jackets, boots, sneakers. Heavy metal is fantasy, ruinous progression. Grow up never, change, come and change. Pornographic dream, steam heat reality in a studio built by God's good grace. Yesterday waits the books stacked, talismans for adventures closer, closer, bruises, blessed with prayers in a graveyard of sound and delight. Cries. A needle hits black lacquer. The speakers forgive lies. But I'm not running away.
Religion makes her crazy. She's not here to stay. She just came by to shoot you, baby.
Thurston Moore live on KCRW, the new album Demolished Thoughts, and show tonight at the Troubadour, for which we'll have tickets a little bit later, so sit tight for that. So Thurston, let's talk about the writing process for this album. Were these songs written over a period of time, or more in a stretch with a certain intention?
They were written mostly throughout 2009, 2010. Yeah, I was just sort of, I recently bought around 2009. I had acquired a 12-string guitar. I just sort of something. Told me to buy one. And I sort of did a little investigation, and I bought sort of a mid-priced 12-string guitar. If I wanted to give these guys some promo here, it's this company called Martin and Company. Somebody told me they were good, so I bought one of those. And and they found out I was playing when they were nice enough to actually lend us some guitars to play on this tour. That was kind of cool. We've just been beating the hell out of them.
What was it about these songs that made them, your own as part of this project, as opposed to what you contribute to Sonic
Youth?
Right.
They're far more intimate and personalized songs lyrically for the most part. With Sonic Youth, I mean, I don't really sort of shy away from the personal too much, but I will somewhat modify it so it's kind of it works more in context with the band as a democracy, as a group, so I don't want it to be ever such a singular voice within the group, because I like the idea of the group being kind of a gang.
Yeah.
And this is like, and the statements, whatever statements are made, are kind of group composed, so I sort of sensitive to that. These songs are more coming out of probably I would say just more sort of intimate kind of
sure.
Thinking, and even then I'm kind of scared of sort of some of that, so I tend to sort of I tend to code them a little bit. Mm-hmm. Possibly within sort of different kind of poetic usage, just using different sort of strategies of poetics that I like anyway, working with language. So I kind of sort of have lots of different kind of corners and compartments that I kind of hide in and behind when I'm doing this. But this record is a bit more sort of maybe a bit more sort of raw to the heart, possibly, I guess.
Was there a particular place that you wrote most of the songs?
Yeah, it was just sort of between New York City and Northampton, Massachusetts. A lot of it happening in just kind of my basement. I have this kind of dusty basement that I kind of hang out in, and I sort of play records in, and sort of, I have that's my kind of getaway zone right there. And I have some amplifiers down there, and I sort of fool around, but I'm not really like one of those guys who has like a whole recording set up in their home. And I have like a couple of like cassette decks that I use, like Radio Shack cassette decks, to capture things with.
When it came time for you to record these songs, you reached out to an old friend in Beck.
Yeah, I was just going to record them really simply at home and sort of do like a really sort of lowbrow kind of recording. I wasn't going to do much of a campaign about it or anything like that. I really didn't have too much of any guidance really with what I wanted to do. And the songs were kind of they were sort of dark. It was sort of dark songs for me, and I ran into Beck last summer. I was traveling around with Kim and Coco, my daughter, my wife and daughter, and we ran into Beck here in Los Angeles last summer, and we were hanging out, and I was sort of telling him what was going on, and he asked me to come and check out his setup that was in his house. He says we had a studio that was kind of jerry-rigged next to his kitchen there, and so I went over and looked at it and said, this is really cool. And I started telling him about these songs, and he said, if you want to try recording some in my place. And I said, I'd rather you just, how about if I just come to your place and you just like produce this as a record, and that would be really cool. Why don't you just do that? And he said, yeah, I'll do that. I mean, it was just like, that was as easy as it got. And I said, I want to bring like Samara and Mary out to play violin and harp. And he said, that's cool. And then he brought in a couple of people, and he he really sort of immediately, in his own way, got a real sort of sense of what was going on thematically with the lyrics and the music. And
seems like he really brought the light out.
He did. He actually sort of he gave it a certain he gave it a certain vibe that added some kind of hope to it. and I really appreciated that, and I really liked it.
Well, you also had to trust the process. And just to give people a little perspective, you have been friends with Beck for a long time.
Yeah.
And in fact, Ariana's been raving about this YouTube footage, or it's something from like 120 minutes.
When he got signed to like Geffen Records, and they brought him out to New York to be on like 120 minutes.
Yes.
And they asked me to like interview him. And you know, Beck's grandfather was this really wonderful Fluxus artist, Al Hansen, who was very significant in lots of ways. He's the guy who sort of, along with Brendan Mullen, sort of started the Mask in Hollywood, you know, which is like the birthplace of, you know, L.A. and punk rock. And he's the one who called it the Mask, which is a bizarro name, but it's sort of this European kind of thing. And so that's Beck's grandfather. And Beck, you know, he completely was inspired and intrigued by his grandfather as an artist, as a Fluxus artist who would work and do work that was, you know, very absurd in the face of, you know, what was sort of considered, you know, rote and standard in the art world. And he would sort of attack it with comedy and with just wonderful ideas. And so one thing we did is like, when I found that out, I immediately told Beck that, yeah, I really love your grandfather's work, and why don't we do something in the studio in this interview that's just not a typical Q&A thing. And so I'm going to ask you a question, and why don't you just take your shoe off and throw it across the room in response. And so it was a funny thing to do. A lot of people thought, like, you know, God, that kid was really dissing you in the studio. Like, you know. I was like, yeah, he sure was. That was cool. I had first met him just here in L.A. because I saw him playing at some backyard barbecue that was put on in Santa Monica. And I was curious about him because he had a couple of things out, like Flipside Records had a 7-inch. And he had just released the 12-inch Loser.
Yeah. Which was... And, you know, of course, he's become quite the Renaissance man these days. But, I mean, that kind of collaboration, we describe this record as a solo record, but really it feels
it's
like
very collaborative.
Collaboration
Beck
with
very,
Beck.
Yeah. He's very important to this record. And I wasn't quite sure how that was going to turn out because I never worked with Beck in the studio. We've only sort of, you know, just kind of hung out and
yeah.
around and stuff and toured together. But we never worked in the studio. And his expertise in the studio was fascinating because it was very idiosyncratic. It wasn't what I was used to with working with different engineers and producers through the years. And that was for me, was just the best thing, that he just worked in his own accord, which was Beck world, you know, and it was like nobody else's world. And I just really, I really trusted him, and he, you know, he's just sort of, he just turned it into something that I found really rewarding. So.
Before we go into your second set, I wanted to ask you about the actual CD package, which you did a lot of the artwork for this. Also, it features a photograph of your mother. Whoa.
Sorry, was that me?
I'm not sure.
Probably.
Could have been me. A photograph of your mother taken by your dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That was a photo that was taken in the 40s, and my mother and my father lived in Miami, Florida, and my father went to Columbia College, and she ran up to New York to live near him, and against her parents' best wishes, and they had this kind of beatific kind of life of two lovers living in New York City in that time, and is she found that photograph, you know, the classic shoebox under the bed kind of thing. And I saw it and I thought it was I thought it was super sweet, and sort of kind of it really for me was very referential to a lot of what I was writing about.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to use that.
Demolished Thoughts is the album from Thurston Moore. He has a show tonight at the Troubadour. We have tickets coming up in just a few minutes, but let's head into your second set. Thurston Moore live on KCRW.
All we tour with like six or seven guitars, and which is always something I wanted to get away from was the multiple guitars and guitar tunings. But it haunts me. Every song is like with some different tuning, and therefore I always have to use these different guitars. Sunday lights, come take my nights, and I'll bend down to my knees and die. Illuminate my soul to take. Illuminate your clear, cool. Lover's light is home, where the hallowed shine, the light's lighting the room. Thank you. He shut the book and was quiet. Its ending was merciless. The writer walked through the glass window. The reader was destroyed forever. He fell into her with abandon. With benediction in her eyes, our dearest gods are now surprised. You better hold your lover down. Whisper, I love you 1,000 times into his ear. Kiss his eyes and don't you cry, girl, he won't disappear. But I know better than to let you go. Are not surprised. You better hold your lover down. Tie her to the ground. Simple pleasures strike like lightning. Scratches cross her name. Whisper, I love you. Darling, life is just a flame, but I know better than to let her go. I know better than to let you go.
searchlight eyes, the stony demon's bliss. Orchard Street is empty.